You're listening to The Bridge, a podcast from the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. For more content on the latest research, articles, and news of our CPD events and conferences, please visit www.acamh.org or search for us on social media using the handle ACAMH. School-based interventions are effective, but are they efficient? By Dr. Jessica Edwards. School-based interventions are effective for preventing and treating common medico-psychological problems and disorders in pupils, according to data from a practitioner review published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry. The comprehensive systematic review, compiled by Frank Paulus, Suzanne O'Mann, and Christian Papau, investigated the types of school-based intervention being utilised, their effectiveness, and the practical implications of providing school-based interventions to affected school children. Children and young people spend a large proportion of their time in a school setting, where complex levels of social interaction occur between teachers, staff, and peers. Consequently, a diverse range of social, cognitive, and emotional skills are required and are honed in this environment. Some children thrive and others can be at risk of developing mental health problems. Reports suggest that up to 25% of students display notable mental health problems during their school years. Yet, of these, an estimated 70 to 80% receive no mental health support. Consequently, many have proposed that schools could intervene and implement relevant programs to improve the mental health of their students. However, as Paulus and colleagues report, school-based interventions are relatively unpopular among the various involved parties since little is known about their effectiveness. There is a structural lack of medical and nursing staff in schools. Teachers often feel less responsible for the medico-psychological problems of their pupils and try to solve such problems with educational measures and by informing the parents about problems at school, explains Paulus. Furthermore, there is a general lack of information about the effectiveness of school-based interventions and a gap between existing effective school-based interventions and efficient and sustainable implementation in the school context. This scenario motivated us to compile our review. The researchers performed their systematic literature search for articles related to school-based interventions published between 1993 and 2015. From the extracted data, they aimed to address the following main research questions. What practitioner-relevant, effective, research-based, school-based interventions have been developed for common, school-relevant medico-psychological problems? What programs for what disorders have large effect sizes? And who would be able to implement school-based interventions and what would be the prerequisites? Paulus et al. Found that school-based interventions are being used for numerous mental health problems, including conduct disorder, depression, anxiety, substance use, autism spectrum disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. The various programs typically fall into one of three categories: universal, selective, or indicated interventions. Universal school-based interventions mostly include school-based competence enhancement programs, which can be broadly applied and require no need to screen at-risk students. These interventions are generally considered effective by targeting multiple risk factors simultaneously, but they may not provide sufficient specification or duration or be effective towards the most at-risk group. Examples of such school-based interventions highlighted in the review include programs for social and emotional learning or universal interventions against externalizing behavior. Selective school-based interventions include selected interventions for those at risk of a mental health problem. One effective intervention within this category is gatekeeper training for those with suicidal thoughts. Finally, indicated programs are suitable for those with symptoms of mental health disorder who do not meet full diagnostic criteria. Those who have failed to improve with universal or selective interventions are also candidates for indicated programs. Overall, the researchers concluded that school-based interventions are generally effective at preventing and treating common mental health problems in adolescents. Many interventions had moderate to high effect sizes. Specifically, the effect sizes for selective and indicated interventions are larger than those for universal interventions. They found that school-based interventions have the potential not only to reduce mental health problems and problem behaviours of students, but also reduce the risk of negative consequences later in adulthood, such as unemployment, drug abuse, or delinquency. They also consider that school-based interventions may reduce the number of early school leavers and may improve pupils' academic performance. The alliance and communication between pupils, teachers and parents and the collaboration of the various disciplines when confronted with academic or behavioural school problems, including school psychologists, counsellors and school nurses, may also be improved. Importantly, the data suggests that school-based interventions can be administered by regular school staff once they are sufficiently trained, which has cost-saving implications. Paulus also proposes that school-based interventions have a positive effect on teaching staff by reducing teacher anxiety, improving the classroom and general school climate, and supporting teachers who feel left alone to handle problem children. Other benefits of school-based interventions include reducing therapeutic costs for children, parents, and teachers, promoting student engagement and creativity, and improving the alliance and communication between pupils, teachers, and parents. In considering the limitations of school-based interventions, Paulus and colleagues break these down into numerous categories. Their first is the individual limitations of teachers and practitioners, their personality and motivation, pupils, as not all personal problems are amenable to school-based interventions, and parents, some of whom are not willing to engage with school-based interventions. The second category outlines the structural limitations of school and or home systems, such as curriculum-based versus optional school-based interventions, different school opinions on school-based interventions, and support for teachers in implementing a school-based intervention. Their third category addresses organisational limitations. Well-organised coordinators are needed for monitoring the effectiveness of school-based interventions. A sufficient amount of time is required by the staff and the student, and an appropriate space and level of resource are required to implement the school-based intervention. Other limiting factors discussed by the researchers include training requirements, the transfer of research-based programmes into the daily routine, and confounding and uncontrolled variables that may limit the study of effectiveness, like medication or other concurrent therapeutic interventions. A key finding of the review was that longitudinal comparative studies are urgently needed to evaluate the long-term effects of school-based interventions. We were also surprised to find no gold standard for implementing school-based interventions, said Paulus. There are less school-based interventions available for preventing and treating internalising disorders compared to externalising disorders, and there's a lack of programmes for adolescent attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and conduct disorder, despite these being very common, impairing and generally undertreated conditions. The researchers also found that for a school-based intervention to be implemented effectively, an in-house organisational structure needs to be created. They highlighted that the important role of key opinion leader teachers in supporting classroom teachers is generally neglected. It was also concluded that booster sessions are necessary to sustain the long-term effects of school-based interventions. Future studies should explore the long-term effects of various interventions and the single components of school-based interventions in order to prove their relative contribution to outcomes, proposes Paulus. Studies on school-based interventions focusing on the effect of implementation, dissemination, sustainability, and generalisation of prevention and treatment are needed. In addition, we need to focus on the influence of specific characteristics of the participants, such as gender, developmental status, comorbid problems, and on specific context factors, such as school type or familial status and their role in predicting the successful implementation of school-based interventions. Paulus and colleagues predict that within 10 years, most school-based interventions will be computerised and standardised and hope that implementation barriers will be overcome. They propose that these improvements will be helped, in part, by the generation of additional trainees and a number of new, effective school-based interventions to treat a large number of children effectively. 10 years from now, the quality of programme implementation in schools should have improved, more RCTs will have been performed, and the efficacy of school-based interventions in various settings will be proven, poses Paulus. Importantly, the research practice gap should be reduced. Gold standards for school-based interventions should have been developed, and the collaboration and communication among the various persons involved in school-based interventions will be improved. In summary, Paulus et al. Conclude that thus far, the ability to treat all affected children effectively has not yet been achieved. However, if evidence-based cognitive behavioural interventions are applied and the rules of implementation science are respected, school-based interventions have the potential to be a valuable tool to help many students with mental health problems. You've been listening to The Bridge, a podcast from the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. For more content on the latest research, articles, and news of our CPD events and conferences, please visit www.acamh.org or search for us on social media using the handle ACAMH.